Well, it is. It's good to be here. It's good to be together. You know, as I was preparing for this, it's one of those things where I sensed the Lord pointing me in this direction for quite some time. And I kept looking other places for what to talk about this morning. And finally, through a series of circumstances, I felt, okay, this is what I'm going to do, God. It's up to you, because I don't feel adequate at all to talk about how to count it all joy. How to count it all joy, brothers and sisters. When you encounter or meet trials of various forms. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And we'll go on, but just that in itself was enough to consume me and just overwhelm me as I thought about all that God has done and continues to do in my life. And I know that I have nothing to say to many of you by experience when it comes to trials. And that's the hard part for me, because I know there are many among us who have suffered much more than I have. It doesn't take long to develop quite a list. You know, as we think of Jim Hayes and the struggle that he's having right now, as we think of the widows among us in the trials that they have faced as lonely women together, as we think of Andy Rogers, who's been struggling with cancer, others among us who have struggled with illness for a long time. It's hard for me to feel at all that I have anything to say to you. But yet God does. And that's the thing that we want to look at this morning. So what does God have to say about all this? What does He want to say to us, to me? And I have to be honest with you also, the other part of this that scares the life out of me is He preparing me for trial? Am I willing to accept that? And how will I deal with it? Will I handle it as well as many of you have? And that's the hard part, because I feel I've not been tested as much as many of you have, who have done so well. And that's the thing that we all want to be a part of, is how can we count it all joy when we face these trials? So let's go before the Lord in prayer right now. Father, we commit this time to You. Lord, we are in Your hands, and we thank You that You give us joy when there seems to be no source of joy. You give us faith when we have nothing in ourselves to believe in. Father, You give us strength when every ounce of energy is gone. How do we know that? Lord, it's because You've proved Yourself faithful. And if we could just look at the cross for a minute and understand that You have given us the perfect sacrifice on the cross at Calvary, Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. You placed Him there for us, suffering great turmoil, having to cast the sin of the world upon Your Son in judgment. And Jesus, You willingly taking all of the sin of the world in the separation from Your Father at that moment, You understand trials. You understand hurt. You know pain intimately. And we know that we can come to you as a good God, knowing that you are faithful. And Father, this morning we pray that your word would speak to our hearts, and that as we look at this subject, as we look at this passage, Father, minister to us and encourage us, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. So as we talk about this passage, it started in, for me, actually a couple of different ways as I started to think about this. But James chapter 1, it doesn't want to go. There it went. James chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Let's read that. James, as a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet various trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I pray that all of you as believers, that is our goal, right? To be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. We all like the thought, don't we, though, of being filled with joy? We like that. I want to start this off by saying, first of all, know this. Know this. It is okay to not always feel filled with joy, to not always feel what joy looks like to us as humans. Scripture is full of just the Psalms especially, right? People pouring out their hearts to God. God, I feel forsaken. God, I feel abandoned. Know that it's okay to have those conversations with God. The struggle is when we get stuck there. The struggle is when we don't move from that place of lament, that place of turmoil. But James is an interesting book. It's written by Jesus' brother, James. And as we look at these verses this morning, my underlying question through all of this is, how do we count it all joy when we encounter trials of various kinds? How do we do that? What does it look like? How do we accomplish that? First, it's important just to remember that it's okay to struggle. It's okay to not always look happy. So how do we do this? As I was studying this passage and just going through it, I'm just going to put some verses up here that if you want to copy them down, I'm going to read through a lot of them. But they're just, first of all, know that this is not exhaustive. If this were an exhaustive study of this passage and this subject matter, we'd be here till afternoon. And I don't plan to do that. I recognize that I don't have as much time as normal, so I'm going to try to go through this rather briefly. But let's look at Psalm 42. If you have your Bibles, grab that, grab your phone and pull up your Bible app. If you don't have that, there might be a little Bible in front of you on the in the chair underneath in front of you. But I want to look at Psalm 42 because I think it just paints a beautiful picture of this process of how we come to the place of understanding joy in the midst of difficulty. So Psalm 42, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How long, how I would go with the throng and lead them in the procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan and of Hermon, from the Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands His steadfast love, and at night, His song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to you, God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go on mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God. As we see that passage, I was just struck by what I would describe as kind of a roller coaster. As we hear the psalmist in this psalm, he cries out, why am I so downcast? My soul, why is it burdened within me? And what does he do? He reminds himself of truth. Reminds himself of who God is. But yet he cries out to God, my enemies, they attack me. They want to destroy me. Why am I so downcast? Oh yes, my God, my rock, my strength, my Redeemer. And I just see that over and over again through this psalm. As he talks in the beginning of being like the deer who's panting for the Lord, who needs the Lord's strength, the Lord's help. All of us need that. All of us need to start from a place of understanding that we need God first. Without that understanding coming into this, we don't have any desire to seek truth. We will tend to live in our emotional state. And the thing that as we look at this, I hope you begin to understand, joy is not an emotional state. Joy fills us to the point where we are able to live beyond our emotions because of the truth that we know. The other verses that talk about this that I want to look at, Psalm 59, verses 16 and 17. But I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. O my strength, I will sing praises to you. For you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love. Man, when you think about those verses, it's hard not to smile, isn't it? When we realize that, O my strength, I will sing praises to you. O God, you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love. When we understand that, God brings a smile to our face, doesn't He? That He is that rock that we need. He is that person of strength. As Becky and I went this summer to the Sing conference, or this fall, down in Nashville, we had the opportunity to hear Johnny Erickson Tata speak on suffering. And that was one of the things that God used in my life to help me better understand what God's doing through suffering, through trials. God is refining us. First of all, He wants us to be more like the image of our Savior. So He uses suffering to refine us. You know, there aren't any metals that I'm aware of out there that can be refined without heat, without some external force being applied to it. It just isn't the way things happen. When we refine silver, for an example, we look at it, and as it's a molten state, as it's liquid, the goal is to get it to the point where it reflects. It becomes like glass where it reflects. And that's how they know that the silver is refined, as they see their image. And God is doing that in us. And some of us take more heat than others. And when I heard Johnny talk of the process that God has been using in her life and understanding what God is doing through the refining process, the other part of it that is so beautiful is not only is God working in us, but He is providing more of Himself to us through the refining process, which develops that intimate relationship that we would not otherwise have. That's what brings the joy. As we start to understand God is calling us to be more like Him, and as part of that process, He is providing to us more of Himself, a more intimate walk with Him. It fills us with joy. It can't help but make us smile. But as she was sharing the things that she struggled with, there was a point in time where she was so discouraged, so despaired, that she asked her friend to take her life. She said, "I want to die. I don't want to live this way." She had been to every opportunity for God to heal her, to remove the paralysis that she had, and God never did. For those of you that are younger and may not know who Johnny Erickson Tata is, I'd encourage you to look it up and see who she is. She's been in a wheelchair for 50 years. Not quite as long as Bernie, but her ministry is powerful as she speaks to suffering. The other thing that's interesting about her testimony is here is a woman who is paralyzed from the shoulders down, has no feeling in her extremities, in any part of her body from the shoulders down. But yet she suffers from chronic pain. And she says, "I don't know why this happens or how this happens. How do I feel pain on the inside when you could burn her foot and she wouldn't know that it's being burned?" But yet she struggles with chronic pain on top of this. But yet, through it all, the thing that she comes to recognize is the power of truth to speak to her heart. When she gets to the point of struggling and feeling all is lost and I don't know what to do, she goes to truth, to the Word of God, and to song. For those that don't know Johnny Erickson Tata, her testimony is one of song. She will break out in song and start singing because the truth of the song gets her through. The truth of singing brings her closer to her God. And as you think about that, as you understand that God's place in our hearts is our place of comfort. Psalm 32:7 says, "You are my hiding place. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance." What is that? To be delivered with shouts of deliverance. To know that truth. brings us joy in the midst of struggle. You know, I've never been in a situation of war. I've never been in a situation where I've been surrounded by the enemy. And in the distance, you hear the cavalry coming. But I've seen movies about it. And what always happens when they hear the F-16s flying in to take out the enemy, or they hear the cavalry charge off in the distance that's familiar, and you know that the rescue is about to happen, you well up in cheers, right? The joy that comes from knowing. I want to say, brothers and sisters, the truth that God is our victor, God is our Savior, God is our crowning achievement in the sense of He provides all that we need in times of difficulty, gives us something to cheer about. We have to remind ourselves of that. Because our tendency as emotional beings is to stay in the emotion, to stay in the struggle that we're in, and feel downcast all the time. But how do we count it all joy when we encounter these things, when we meet these trials of various forms? The interesting thing is in the Greek, that word encounter, to meet up with, has a connotation of war. I didn't realize this till I was studying this, but it actually has a connotation of meeting up with the enemy. And we don't often think of trials as our enemy, but sometimes they are. Sometimes, though, the Lord uses that encounter for our good. I would say all times, God uses that encounter for our good. As we look at, as we go forward and think about how trials prove our faith, make us steadfast, the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, holds us firm. How does it do that? This process that we're in, we're counting it all joy as you encounter various trials so that you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Psalm 66, let's look at that. Verses 8 through 12 says, "Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard, who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You have brought us to the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. You went through the fire. We went through fire and through water. Yet, you have brought us out to a place of abundance." We have these promises throughout Scripture that tell us that God will bring us through. God will provide a way when there seems to be no way. God will meet us in those trials, in those difficulties that we face, and give us strength. He will build us up and lift us to a place of security and safety. 1 Peter 1 is another passage I want to look at. Verses 3 through 9. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice all these passages kind of start out with blessing God, understanding from the beginning that God is worthy of blessing. "And the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. Though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Again, the perseverance, the picture, the steadfastness that God provides as we struggle through trials, as we walk through life together. He uses these trials to refine us, as this passage says. He uses them to encourage us, to build our faith in him. You know, the one thing that we can rely on is that God is who he says he is, right? You can think that you can rely on me, your mate, your friend, your best friend, but there are times they'll let you down, right? They may even hurt you. They might even intentionally cause you pain. The thing that we can count on is that God is who he says he is, that he is faithful, that he is merciful, that he is just, that he will not give us any more than we can bear, and that as we are steadfast, as we rely on him more deeply each day, he uses that to make us steadfast, because it's not us, it's him. As we start to understand that our trust, our faith is not in ourselves. You know, this faith that we're talking about here is not something that is our faith in the sense of, I'm such a wonderful person. My faith is tremendous. But no, our faith is who our faith rests in. The one that we know is faithful. The one that we know has our best in heart. At heart for everything that comes our way. He doesn't want to destroy us, but we do have an enemy that does want to see you destroyed, wants to see your testimony destroyed, wants you to stay in the place of wallowing or misery because of trials. It's only when we count it all joy that we see God glorified in our trials. When we are at a place of peace, when there should be no peace, when we are able to praise God, when we're faced with difficulties beyond description, God is glorified. He is honored. And when we do that, we also receive from him the sweetness of fellowship that only comes to strengthen us for the next situation that we face. The strength, the joy that comes as we walk together through life. And the steadfastness that we face leads to completion, lacking in nothing. First of all, I want to be clear. I lack a lot of things. I am not perfect. I'm not close to perfect. But yet God desires each of us, when we receive him, when we are elevated to heaven with him, we will be perfect. Until that time, He is forming us, right? He is making us to be more like His Son. But how do we get to that place? It's a place of weakness. He wants us to realize that in ourselves we can do nothing, but through Him we can do all things. Let's look quickly at 2 Corinthians. A couple of passages there I just want to read. 2 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 24. It says, "Five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, danger in the city, dangers in the wilderness." Wow, I'm getting tired just reading this. "Danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is a daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is made to fall? And I am not indignant. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness." Now here's a pretty good list of a lot of nasty things that he has gone through. And from all accounts that we have, Paul seemed to go through those things pretty well, didn't he? If anybody could stand before you and say, "I've seen the struggle," and you can do it, Paul could. But instead, what does he say? "I boast in my weakness. I boast in that I am nothing. I have nothing to bring to this." In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10 and 16 through 18, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." Wow. That is cool. As we look not to these things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Am I really able to fully trust God? Am I really able to do that? Does He really have my good in mind during my trials? Can I believe that about God? That when I am suffering, He has my good, my best? Jesus understands our weakness. He understands the human desire to be free from pain. He prayed before He went to the cross, "Father, if it be Your will, take this cup from me. I know what's ahead and I don't want to do it. But I will." Praise God that the Father didn't remove Jesus from that cup that He had to drink, because that is our salvation. That He didn't remove the pain from our Savior, in the pain from Himself. Jesus is a man of sorrows. He understands our pain. He understands abandonment, loneliness, betrayal, and even the Father's silence. He understands And I saw this quote this past week that just kind of showed me the battle that we face. Satan wants you to see your weaknesses and despair. God wants you to see his work in your weakness and rejoice. Wow. That's a powerful statement. And I want to close with this Spurgeon quote. He said, God does not need your strength. Get a grip on that, folks. God doesn't need our strength. That hurts somebody like me because I like to be the one to be counted on. But God doesn't need my strength. He has more than enough power on his own, of his own. He asks for your weakness. He has none of that himself. And he is longing, therefore, to take your weakness and use it as an instrument in his own mighty hand. Will you not yield your weakness to him and receive his strength? Let's pray. Father, we come before you, thanking you for our weakness. For in our weakness, we find strength from you. And Father, we thank you that you provide this. We thank you that you give us blessing beyond measure as we count it all joy when we encounter trials of various kinds. Father, when difficulties come our way and we can rely on you as the source of our strength, as you show yourself real and we become more in love with you and we know you better, you give us more of yourself, we can count it all joy as we know you more. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for a Savior that paid the penalty on our cross and understands our suffering and is there, Father, not to answer necessarily the why questions, but you answer with, I'm here. I am all you need. And Lord, that sounds so trite, but it's our only source of joy. And we give you thanks this morning for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.